In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the crucified and risen Savior. This is most certainly true. In our Lutheran catechism, that's a very important phrase. This is most certainly true. For at the end of each of the articles of the Apostles' Creed, one that talks about the work of God the Father, one that talks about God the Son, and one that talks about God the Holy Spirit, at the end of those articles, they all end with that phrase, "This is most certainly true." And do you ever wonder how we're able to say that? Do you ever wonder how we can be so bold as to say we are certain of what truth actually is? For think about what it means to be certain. To be certain is not having the odds in your favor. It's not a gambler betting money on a team because it's easy money, and then he has to sweat through a game with random bounces and strange experiences to see if his bet's going to pay off or not. That's not certainty. Nor is certainty simply a wish. It's not a hope. My life will get better soon. I know it. That's not certainty either. Instead, certainty is being 100% sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, with no other possibilities. That's what it means to be certain. And if that's what it means to be certain, 100% sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, can you really be certain about any truth in the world? As an example, can you be certain that the Chiefs deserved to win the Super Bowl last year? I know they won the Super Bowl, but can you be certain that they were the best team in the NFL? I know many of you Chiefs fans in the middle of the year didn't think so. And if a ball bounces another way, or if a play or two switches around, they may not have even made the Super Bowl, let alone win it in overtime. So you can have the opinion that they were the best team. You can believe that they were deserving. But even the most diehard Chiefs fan can't say that they are certain, 100% sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they deserve to win the Super Bowl. And the same is true about any other decision that you make. It's nearly impossible to be certain. You can believe that it's right. You can have the opinion that it's right. But to be certain, 100% certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's very difficult to be in this world. And so if it's that hard to be certain, 100% certain, then why in our Lutheran catechism are we so bold as to say this is most certainly true? Well, to answer that question, let's talk about a man named Job. If you know anything about the man named Job, he had everything. He had riches, he had fame, he had a wonderful family. But then literally in a matter of minutes, I'm not exaggerating, literally in a matter of minutes, he lost it all. His flocks were taken from him. All his possessions were burned to the ground. All his children even died at once. I think Job could have believed and been sure that when he woke up that morning, all these tragedies wouldn't have happened to him at once. But he couldn't be certain, proven by the fact that all those tragedies did happen to him. And when Job endured all those tragedies, all happening him at the same time, Job did have some uncertainties. He was uncertain on how he was going to handle all this. He was uncertain of why all these things were happening. He was uncertain of how long the pain and suffering was going on. But even amid his uncertainties, with all those struggles, Job, he remained certain of this one thing. In fact, he was so certain of this, he said he wants it inscribed in bronze and etched in stone forever. And what was Job so certain of, even amid all his struggles? He was certain that his Redeemer lived. That's what he was certain of. He was certain that his Redeemer lived. And because he was certain of that, he was certain that he would live forever as well. You see, even though Job lived roughly 2,000 years before Jesus was in this world, Job, he was certain of Easter. He was certain that his Redeemer would die and then live. And how could Job be so certain of that? It's because the Lord had promised it. For thousands of years, the Lord had promised that he would die, and then after dying, he would rise from the dead. Talk about a pretty big promise, right? But if the Lord promises it, you can be certain about it. Because the Lord does not lie, and he proved that on that first Easter morning. For on that first Easter morning, some women went to the tomb. They went to the tomb to finish preparing Jesus' body for burial. For just 3 days earlier, it was certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus had died. Thousands of people saw him die on the cross. A soldier pierced his side with a spear. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus wrapped his body and buried him in a tomb. There was no doubt 3 days prior that Jesus was dead. He was dead and buried in that tomb. It's why the women went to the tomb early on that Easter morning. It was to finish preparing his body for burial. But when they got to that tomb, Jesus was not there. Even though it was certain that he was dead and placed in that tomb just 3 days prior, Jesus was not in that tomb on Easter morning. And there's only one possible explanation of why that happened. It's that he had risen from the dead. It's that he had come back to life just as he had prophesied about for thousands of years. For not only is that what the angel said, right? He's not here. He's risen. He's alive. But on top of that, logically speaking, it's the only explanation of how Jesus' body could have come out of that tomb. For just think of all the precautions that were in place to make sure that Jesus' dead body remained in that tomb. Never in the history of the world has so many precautions taken place to make sure that a dead guy stayed in a tomb. But they did that with Jesus. They had a large stone rolled in front of the tomb, a stone that would have been impossible for one person to move on their own. Pilate put a seal on the tomb, an official seal, making sure that if anybody touched it, they would know and would have gotten in trouble. And perhaps most of all, they put a Roman guard in front of the tomb. The most powerful men of the day were sitting there, standing there, making sure that that dead body did not come out of the tomb. Yes, there were all sorts of precautions to make sure that Jesus' body stayed in the tomb. But it didn't work. Jesus came out of the tomb. He came out of the tomb alive, and it's not because somebody went in and stole his body. That would have been impossible with the stone and the seal and the Roman guard out front. Instead, that tomb is empty because Jesus rose from the dead. He came back to life. It's the only possible explanation. You can be certain of it, certain, 100% certain, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that your God is alive, risen from the dead. And since you can be certain that he is alive, risen from the dead, that means you can also be certain that your life will be filled with joy and peace, both now and forever. You see, that's how Job continues with our text. He continues with the certainty that he is at joy and peace, even though he faced all those struggles, such as losing his entire family at once. He still is certain that he is at joy and peace right now and forever. For since his Redeemer lived, since he had risen from the dead, Job could say, even after my skin has been destroyed, nevertheless, in my own flesh I will see God. I myself will see him. My own eyes will see him, and not as a stranger. What beautiful words those are. You see, Job recognized that everything in this world is temporary. All the things in this world are wonderful blessings from God, but they're just temporary. I don't think Job thought he would lose everything in a matter of minutes, but he knew eventually he would lose all the things of this world. They're temporary. It's why we can't place our joy and peace in anything in this world. Everything in this world, even our lives and the lives of our loved ones, they end. Instead, Job had all his peace and joy in his Redeemer. And his Redeemer who died and then came back from the dead, risen. That's where all his joy and peace was, because nothing could change the fact that his Redeemer lived. And since Job's peace and joy was found in his Redeemer, Job could be at peace even as he endured all those struggles, and especially he would be at peace when he died, knowing that when he died, he would go up to heaven to live with his God forever. That's what Easter did for Job. Easter made Job certain of life. And my dear Christian friends, that's what Easter can do for you. It can make you certain of life. For everything in this world is temporary. One day it'll all be gone, including your life and the life of your loved ones. It's why we really can't find certain peace and joy in the things of this world, because we know it will eventually end. It probably won't end all at once as it did with Job, but the things of this world are temporary. It's not so with your Redeemer. Your Redeemer, Jesus Christ, lives. He comes back to life. You can be certain of it. And since you are certain that your Redeemer lives, that means you can be certain that you are at peace and joy right now. No matter what struggles might be in your life, you have peace and joy because your Savior lives. You're forgiven of all of your sins. And even when you die, you can be certain of peace and joy. Because like Job, you know that your Redeemer lives. And so when you die, you will simply move to heaven where you will dwell with your God forever. That's how certain Easter makes you. In fact, only Easter can make you that certain. For if your hope is in something else besides your crucified and risen Savior, then there is uncertainty. There's uncertainty of what's going to happen tomorrow in your life. There's uncertainty on if you will still be filled with joy and peace. And maybe especially there's uncertainty in death if you don't know your crucified and risen Savior. But if, like Job, you can confidently say, I know my Redeemer lives, you can always be certain. Certain. 100% sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, certain that you are at peace and joy right now, and especially you will be at peace and joy for all eternity. Only Jesus can give you that certainty, because only Jesus has risen from the dead. And so, dear friends in Christ, this is my prayer for each and every one of you. It doesn't matter if you're here every single Sunday or if you just come on Christmas and Easter. It doesn't matter if you're a member here or a member somewhere else, if you're a church-going person or not. This is my prayer for you right now. And I do mean this. My prayer is that each and every one of you are certain. I pray that you are certain of the peace and joy you have in your crucified and risen Savior. And I pray that you have that certainty for all eternity in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue.